back in the 90s, a DEA, as Drug Enforcement Administration officer, stopped at a ranch in Texas and talked with an old rancher. He told the rancher, "I need to inspect your ranch for illegally grown drugs." The rancher said, "Okay, but don't go into that field over there," as he pointed out the location. The DEA officer verbally exploded, saying, "Mister, I have the authority of the federal government with me." Reaching into his rear pants pocket, the arrogant officer removed his badge and proudly displayed it to the rancher. "See this badge? This badge means I am allowed to go wherever I wish, on any land. No questions asked or answers given. Have I made myself clear? Do you understand?" The rancher nodded, politely apologized, and went about his chores. A short time later, the old rancher heard loud screams, looked up, and saw the DEA officer running for his life, being chased by the rancher's big Santa Gertrudis bull. With every step, the bull was gaining ground on the officer, and it seemed likely that he'd sure enough get gored before he reached safety. The officer was clearly terrified. The rancher threw down his tools, ran to the fence, and yelled at the top of his lungs, "Your badge! Show him your badge!" Well, leave it to a farm animal to teach a human some humility. Now, if this had been a real-life situation in our day, the DEA agent probably would have been armed and at the first sign of trouble, plumb shot that bull dead and not paid the old rancher a dime for it. That is the state of our establishment government. The unconstitutional, illegal, unelected regime occupying our nation's capital and coercing the allegiance of all the citizenry nowadays. In short, our so-called government is infected with hubris. It's a very bad case, and it looks like a darn near fatal case. But don't give up hope just yet. But it isn't just the government. It's bureaucracy and agencies that's fallen under the spell of hubris. Just about the entire world suffers from it to varying degrees. And you know what hubris is? Since it is a well-known and primeval concept, I wondered if there was a Wikipedia article about it. And sure enough, there is. This concept was given a name by the ancient Greeks, hubris. And this very word has carried over these thousands of years directly into modern-day English with no substantial alteration in meaning. It means almost exactly the same today as it did then. And while we use it today, precisely referring to our current lawless executive branch of government and elsewhere, in ancient times, the word more broadly indicated arrogance against the mythological Greek gods themselves. And it is that point that I think we need to recover in our day. Though the offense is not against fake gods, but against the actual one and only living God, creator and king of the universe. If more and more people not only believed in the Lord, but had a healthy fear and respect of him, our entire world would be such a far, far better place. So what exactly is hubris? Popular, though mistaken, theologian and Bible teacher of the last century, William Barclay, wrote, "Hubris is mingled pride and cruelty. Hubris is the pride which makes a man defy God and the arrogant contempt which makes him trample on the hearts of his fellow men. Hence, it is the forgetting of personal creatureliness and the attempt to be equal with God." Matthew Hollow quoted writing simply defining hubris as pride that blinds, because it often causes a committer of hubris to act in foolish ways that belie common sense. Does this not describe what we see happening in our country and around the world every day? People are so full of hubris that they are truly blinded, unable to see how utterly depraved, stupid, and suicidal they are. They can't see that what they do and promote will result in their own suffering and destruction. These are America's leftists, and they're useless, but useful for their asinine destructive causes, multitudes of effectively brain-dead followers. But just as the concept of hubris is ancient, those suffering from it also date from the oldest of times, indeed, from even before humanity became a race. The most famous and arguably the archetype of all hubris occurred in time immemorial before Adam was created, when, as the Bible records, the great morning star angel named Lucifer first allowed pride to rise up in his heart and his entire being contorted into Satan, meaning the adversary. God had no enemies. There was only God. Then he created the angels and the spiritual beings, and all was well, until Lucifer felt pride, and things went downhill from there. That greatest of the angels fell out of the highest heaven, along with one-third of the angels whom he had convinced were more than what God had purposed them to be. This awesome creature, second only to God himself by reflecting God's glory, was expelled and fell like lightning from heaven to earth, becoming Satan. Powerless on the earth, he and his fellow fallen angels here remained, until, indwelling a physical earthly creature, a serpent, he successfully hoodwinked Eve to suggest to her husband Adam to eat the forbidden fruit in direct violation of God's command. You see what happened there? The same pride that had taken root in Satan's heart and spread to a third of the angels had now spawned new spores in the hearts of Eve and Adam. Pride truly is the downfall of everything. For God is God, and there is no other. Only he is creator. Everything besides God is created, and if living, are creatures. Our pride convinces too many of us that we know as well as, or even better than God. We think, oh, he's out there somewhere, but he doesn't know what's going on with me. He doesn't know how hard it is to just live, to survive from one day to the next. He doesn't understand our situations, our circumstances. But we had to deal with all those arrogant government bureaucrats drunk with power lording it over us. And so we become just as bad as them. Pride fills our hearts as we attend one pity party after the next. Isn't that ironic? Feeling sorry for ourselves and seriously questioning God's character is, in many ways, the height of our pride, our hubris. But God, being God, knew how everything would turn out before he even created anything. And before he even created anything, he'd already formulated the absolutely perfect, mysterious plan to rectify everything and restore all things to permanent perfection. As revealed to Apostle Paul and others in the Bible, Ephesians 3, 10 and 11 states, God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places, especially the fallen angels. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. From just this chapter, we see that God's mysterious and perfect plan has been revealed to us humans, his newest and final creations, in stages. For we could not conceive, let alone understand his plans in earlier stages of our existence on earth. He has revealed things as he knows we will be able to and need to understand as his plan progresses. We, as his eager followers, know that we each are battling the spiritual forces of wickedness that control so much of our country's institutions and government, while at the same time fighting the pride, the hubris, that seeks to raise its ugly head within our own hearts and thoughts. Pride's tiny spores strive so to grow up into hubris. They try to make it feel so good and pleasant to just know more than others, be better at something or other than others. We feel important and somehow necessary in the greater scheme of things, that our lives have a real purpose. But folks, apart from God, without being firmly attached to the vine, we are truly nothing, worse than nothing. For outside of God's purposes and perfect will, we are ugly, decrepit, beyond imagining, knowing nothing of beauty. It wasn't so long ago when our society, far more God-fearing than today, produced art, culture, and products that not only benefited humanity, but created beauty. What is called great, award-winning, beautiful, etc. these days rarely possesses any of those qualities. For just as Satan's establishment has infected so many people in positions of power, those same people try to redefine for us what is good and evil, beautiful and ugly, moral and immoral, turning all upside down. And our world, the establishment, is so filled with hubris sprung from the devil that it truly cannot sustain itself. Since we are so obviously in the end times now, God's perfect plan is marching right along, perfectly timed, and though the upheavals and conflicts in the world threaten to undo us, to destroy us, yet we hold on to God's unshakable promises that he will keep us from the calamitous judgments coming upon the entire globe. The satanic establishment trying to take over the entire planet at the very moment its victory seems assured will collapse as Lord Jesus gently sighs a breath upon the world. In the meantime, keep believing and keep upholding the truth, and God will take you to himself for safekeeping in his arms forever. Let us pray. We thank you, Father God, that you truly want to share everything with us, but knowing that we couldn't handle it, couldn't understand it, you parcel it out in just what we need at the time, that we can slowly grasp your grand, mysterious plan. Thank you for that, and that you can use us to share that knowledge with those who do not yet know you. Help us to do this for your name's sake, Lord Jesus. Amen.